This episode of TMS is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your business, tech, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, Wario is in there, and you just didn't know it.
McDonald's trouble is trouble.
Utah school needs a new mascot.
Your nuts are nuts. They're kind of related.
Cards Against Walls.
Do not play Pokemon Go next to a cop.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How mild can a cigarette be for camels and sea?
The Green Llama Strikes.
You are listening to Adele Dazeem.
This is a morning stream.
I forgot that one doesn't have a little follow-up on there.
Nobody
Hi, everybody.
Nobody noticed.
Sure. But I noticed, Brian. I learned it from you, Dad. Hey, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is the morning stream for November 15th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ebbett. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. Busy morning. Lots going on.
Noticing from my, I have a cam that looks at my front yard and the street out there.
Uh-oh.
Today's trash day. Wednesday is trash day. Wednesday is recycling day, but this is not a recycling day.
Okay.
And about 30 minutes ago, I went outside and I took my office trash out there and I put it in the trash can. And then I came back up the stairs and I closed the garage door came back downstairs. And I've been here ever since.
Okay.
I just looked at my screen over there. And my trash can is on its side, which means that there's no wind at all right now, which means somebody knocked it over. And I'm going to guess that it's Russian neighbor's son in his car.
Oh, no.
I'm going to guess the Russian neighbor's son backed into it.
Does this cam record the whole time? Does it have some tape?
It doesn't. I mean,
it probably buffers, right? Back? Probably has some kind of buffer.
I think probably like a minute or two buffer. I wish I would have seen.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I can go back and play.
I have one. The one I have in the basement does 24 hours, and then it erases it every day. So you check it and make sure everything was cool for the day. And that works pretty well. But I would even like to have something longer than that. Something that just...
Darn it. Yeah, I mean, gosh, even an hour... 15 minutes probably would be great. I wish this did record. Yeah, I just went to playback and it's like there's no playback.
Yeah. No, I mean if he did knock it over, why didn't he? Is it too much hassle to get out of the car and pick the can up?
I bet he didn't even notice he did it.
Oh, that's lame. Well, all right. So this could be a fun story. Let's find out later.
Yeah, I'm gonna see.
Look for some paint or some green plastic on the side of his car or something.
The weird thing is the way it's positioned. He would have had to come out of his driveway. Yeah, I can't tell. I mean, the way it's positioned, it doesn't add up. Mm. Like I'm Dexter here, and I'm looking at the blood spatter and the little red yarn things that I've strung all over my driveway. They just don't match up with the direction he would come from his driveway. So I don't know. Oh, you know, it might. If he tagged the bottom of it, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, too much hassle, really.
Too much hassle.
Yeah. Well, good job, Rushing Dude. And once again, creeping your way into our show with some rad stories to tell. Hey, speaking of some weird things. So I know I know I can't stop talking about Mario Odyssey, but I beat the thing. And here, in fact, I've got it right here. This here is an amiibo in the form of Wario.
Gotcha, the Wario amiibo.
Yeah, I'm going to win, he would say, if he could talk right now.
Sure.
I love Wario as a character. I find him to be a great antithesis to Mario. I don't like Waluigi, though. They're just stretching it a little too far with him.
It's the name, though, right? I mean, it's the Waluigi.
Yeah.
They really didn't try really hard to come up with the Mirror Earth.
Yeah. The Luigi opposite, which, I don't know. They pushed that a little too hard. But Wario, cool dude. Like this guy a lot.
Sure.
Well, I was putting amiibos into the game because it has this little amiibo station called Uncle Amiibo or something.
Right.
And he's a little platform thing, and you can put any amiibo in there, and no matter what amiibo you use, it will give you a hint about where a hidden star might be or a hidden moon.
Oh, that's cool.
So You do it and it says, okay, we'll give them about 5 minutes to go find one. And it's kind of arbitrary, but once it does, it'll show you on the map where it is. And you now have
like
a marker.
On every level, it'll do that, or just the first time you do it with any amiibo, and you'll never be able to use that amiibo for that.
No,
again.
You can use it on any level anytime you want. Although I haven't tried using it on the same level, but I have used them on multiple levels and they all treat it like it's new.
Let me rephrase that. So like if you're on the desert level.
Yeah.
That early level, and then you use Wario, and it says, "All right, here's where a star is located."
Yeah.
And then, no, you're talking about the guy next to the amiibo guy, the guy that you can pay, and it does give you.
No, not him. He's just a dude you can pay. He's another way to get hints, is that guy.
Okay, so yeah, you are saying that your amiibo will also give you hints. Yeah. You know about costume changes.
Yeah, because he'll run off. There's a toad that'll right. for $50 because he's a freaking extortion artist. For all I know, you know what he's probably Tom Nook dressed like a toad.
Probably.
Getting his cash however he can get it. He's the one who sends you off for 50 coins, and then this amiibo thing will do it for this other thing. Well, what also can happen, not with every amiibo, but with some of them, is they give you a exclusive costume that you can't get any other way.
Right.
So normally you buy all the costumes at the stores, right? The vendors. But when I put him in there, he goes, oh, he'll go find you a little place. I don't know why he's Irish. But then he says, oh, the amiibo you used was unique and different. That's interesting. Would you like to see this new outfit? And I say, hey, yes. And now Mario is dressed exactly like Wario, the yellow hat and the purple thing and the yellow shirt and the kind of rolled up sleeves and the W on the hat instead of the M. Like, he is, for all intents and purposes, he's cosplaying Wario now, but he's still Mario.
So I'm curious as to what would happen if I used this amiibo, which is how Mario normally looks.
That would probably just give you the hint. I bet you wouldn't get anything out of it, because I put in
try this, that today.
This pixelated Link here, and it just said, here's a thing, so go get it.
Oh, so it still gave you a clue as to a star.
You get a clue no matter what you put in. No matter what amiibo you do, there's a benefit to it to get a star. The question is, do you get an outfit or not? And Wario is the only one I've gotten an outfit out of so far. I'm missing a few amiibos, so I don't know. I haven't tried them all, but none of the Zelda stuff worked other than the hints. But it's just what my whole point of doing this is not just to say, yes, you can get cool outfits. Mm-hmm. There's like a Diddy Kong outfit, for example, if you have Diddy Kong. I don't know if you have Diddy Kong. I don't.
No, I only have three. I have who do I have? I have Wario. I have the big thing in Zelda Breath of the Wild, the big octopus-looking...
Oh, right.
Whatever those things are called. I can't remember the names of those, but...
Right. I know.
The Elementals or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got... Oh, shoot. I think I've got Bowser.
Oh, Bowser's good.
Yeah, I got to see what Bowser does. Bowser fell behind my desk, the one that's against the wall to my right, and I have not gotten Bowser back out. He's like back there with the spiders.
I'll bet
with the wolf spiders.
If I put him in, he tries to make a young princess force marry him. So that's what he does. But anyway,
when you're famous, they let you do it.
With the whole... Oh, yeah, Bowser is the Trump of his world, isn't he? But then...
By the peach.
The part that threw me is that it seems wrong for him to wear Wario clothes. It feels weird. Not moral. Like morally incorrect to be wearing Wario clothes. Like, somehow that's just the wrong thing to do. But the only thing that would make it better is if they were actual Wario clothes, meaning they were all loose and goosey, because Wario's a fat guy, see?
Yeah, right.
And it'd be great if Wario clothes loosely, just kind of hanging off of Mario and stuff.
Mario fails to make a jump across because he's he's hiking his pants up from falling down.
Yeah, and instead of going woohoo all the time, he could go whoo, ho, whoo. Like it was just hard for him, you know? Anyway,
awesome.
So that game, so good.
I wonder if anyone's created a Twitter account of Bowser reading Trump tweets, or like Trump tweets
probably
reworded by Bowser. And if not, then...
Bowser as Trump.
That would be great for about 2 minutes.
If you look at images, there are a billion of these.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
Bowser has wide-ranging discussion with Trump. well, that might be a person. I don't know that. I don't know. Maybe the Bowser is an actual person they're talking
about. Maybe it's Bowser from Sha-Na-Na. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Look at all these Bowser pictures.
Wow.
Make the Mushroom Kingdom great again.
All right, so somebody's kind of already.
Yeah, it's all over the place. I have learned that the internet already did anything I want to do.
Right, anything you could come up with, the internet's done it.
Yeah,
first.
Hopefully your idea that we've been talking about secretly is not that way. I can't think of anyone doing that. The thing you're working on.
Oh yeah, no, but that's why I want to hurry and get it out because.
Yeah.
That does freak me out a little bit that somebody could swoop in, but
somebody could copy it.
Come on, that's all right. I'm, you know,
yeah.
Nobody can do that.
Like Kickstarter's got their new Patreon competitor today.
Drip.
Drip.
The worst name ever.
It's a horrible name. It's post nasal.
Like trickle would be a slightly worse name.
Yeah.
Right?
Not even. Maybe even trickle. Better. Maybe even better because drip is just. It evokes just gross, drippy.
It really does. Discharge.
Yeah, no one ever called anyone a drip.
Sign up for Kickstarter Discharge.
Oily discharge from Kickstarter. I'm really curious about what their actual service is going to be, but the name sucks.
I know. I mean, the thing that I really don't like about Patreon, it doesn't give me a way at the start to ask for additional information from my patrons. Like I want, when somebody signs up as a patron for Coverville, I want to know their t-shirt size. I want to know their preference as far as AAC or MP3, because you know, one of the things that they can get is a DVD and a t-shirt and all that. But there's no way to do that. Like they thought they solved this a few months ago and said, hey, we've added a field where you can write that information in, which means you've got to pull your users and then manually type it into this field for each one of your pages.
Yeah, that's not a database. That's a messy base.
It's horrible. Yeah, yes.
That's a lady base. No, lamey
so
base.
If drip, what are your patrons called on Kickstarter then? Like
drippers? Drippies, drippers, driplets, driplets, dripites. I don't know.
Dripites?
Who knows what it is?
But anyway,
it's not even going to be that big of a. It's kind of like Google Plus trying to take on Facebook a little bit. Patreon's established themselves very well. They've got a good head start. Competition is good. That means better features from both. It'll be fine. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. What'll be interesting is to see how they, I mean, like maybe a Kickstarter project rolls into a drip account.
Right, so, which would be really cool.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? That seems like a smart thing, but they haven't given any details. We don't know jack poo about it. We'll see when things come up later. Real quick, went to McDonald's last night because damn it, I was craving a Big Mac, all right? I don't know why. I just wanted a Big Mac. The kids are like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm just hungry for a Big Mac, kids. Get in the car. So we got in the car. I went to McDonald's. That was perhaps a bad idea. Not because the food was bad. The food was fine.
A Big Mac, that is true. I mean, you're not... McDonald's tastes the same anywhere you go, and they, for better or for worse, it's an accurate taste.
It's exactly what it is. You get what you expect, except in China it was better, and I don't know why, but whatever. Probably because everything else there scared me.
It maybe has just skewed the curve.
probably that. I'll admit to that. But we get there, and things go south right away. I accidentally ran a red light. Getting to the intersection I needed to go to. And the kids are like, Dad, what the crap are you doing? I'm like, I didn't notice. So then that should have foretold the problems I was going to have. I get into this drive up and the lady goes, hey, welcome to McDonald's. And I said, we want this, 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 and this, and this. And she says, you know, all over normal. Do you want regular or large? It's only 10 cents more, you know, all that stuff. And at some point I said, Carter, who is in the car, she's such a freaking vegetarian hippie, freaking, you know, avocado toast, freaking millennial in there. She says, Dad, I want an Egg McMuffin. This is like at 7 o'clock at night. I want an Egg McMuffin without the ham in it or whatever meat they have. I think it's the ham one.
It's ham. Yeah. And the Egg McMuffin. Right.
And so I say to the lady, I want an Egg McMuffin combo, but no ham or meat on there. And I want to swap the little greasy freaking hockey puck you call hash browns. I want to swap that out for French fries. And she says, no problem. So she puts it up on the board and I see it.
You didn't say it like that though, right?
No, not quite like that.
All right.
And so by the time that's up on the thing, I can see it on the little display. And then she says, anything else? I said, Nick, what are you looking for? And he goes, oh, I think I want a Big Mac meal too. And I said, oh, okay. That's going to be two Big Mac meals then. Same across the board, no change.
Right.
By the way, they don't have root beer anymore. When did that happen at McDonald's?
Did they ever have root beer? I remember Coke, Diet Coke, Sprite, and orange drink.
Well, the machines in there have the multi-hooch, so I can get whatever.
Right. The ones inside.
Yeah, but the outsiders, we don't get root beer. I didn't know that. That's a new thing for
me. I don't remember there being which was it? It wasn't Barks. What's the Coke branded? Damn it! My trash can is upright.
You missed it.
I missed it.
Shoot, dude! I'm telling you, it's the Russians. The Russians did it.
Oh my God! They fixed the election, and now they fixed my trash can.
Don't send us your emails. It's a comedy show. We're having some fun here.
People, I'm kidding. But seriously, it's upright. And if I would have seen who put it upright, I bet that would have given me a clue as to who knocked it over.
Shoot. Now I want to know. And this doesn't you can't go backwards at all on it, right?
No.
Okay. It's just a live cam.
Dang it.
I hope no crime is actually committed ever in front of your house.
I've really got to turn on some sort of cache on this thing. I don't know if I can.
It may need a card, like an SD card or something.
Yeah, the app, for people who are curious, is MIPC. I think it's a YI camera. YI camera.
Oh, yeah. They make different ones depending on what you get. They may not. The one you have may not have a card slot.
Right.
Mine have cards, but they run out in a day. Anyway, so the point is.
People are saying it's Barks, by the way, that okay. McDonald's used to have Barks.
Okay, so they don't have that. And so I said, oh, it's okay. Carter, what do you want? She says, oh, Coke's fine. Okay, so Coke. Then Nick says, I want a Big Mac too, Dad. Oh, okay, no problem. Hey, lady, we want two Big Mac combo meals, please. Mm-hmm. And she goes, no problem. And then the board comes up and says, three Egg McMuffin deals. And one Big Mac thing.
So instead of adding Nick's Big Mac, it tripled up on your Carter's Egg McMuffin order.
And I know what I said to her. Like, I know I said it out loud and very clear. I said, that's actually wrong. It's two Big Mac orders, not the other way around. She goes, hang on a second. And now I'm like, all right, she's new. She's training. Fine.
Get a bag that's like stuffed to the brim with Big Macs and Egg McMuffins. Yeah.
I was actually worried about that. So we clarified it all. I saw the thing change. I said, now you've got the fries in with the McMuffin and no meat on that, right? Yep, all good. And she had even little notes in there to show that those were changes. She got it all right. She goes, that'll be 17, whatever, at the window. Now, I thought she said second window because it's not very busy when we're there.
Sure.
And you know how that is. They'll just not use the first window. So I pull ahead, and as I pass the second or the first window, I'm like, oh, yeah, they've got boxes of Happy Meal boxes stacked in the window. That usually means, oh, that window's blocked. We're not going
in there. They use that. They're using the first window for storage or the first little alcove as a shed.
Exactly. Exactly. So we zip past that. And Carter goes, Dad, there's a guy waving at you. And I look behind me, and there's someone reaching out of that window going, you have to pay for your food. So I go into reverse. That means the guy behind me has to back up. Like, everyone's backing up, right?
Right.
Pay the kid. Gives me my receipt. I move forward. Oh, that's the other thing. When I did back up, I was way far away. So I'm, like, crawling out of my car to hand the guy my credit card. And it was just embarrassing and stupid. And then we get the guy paid. We pull up to the thing. They give us our... they said, here are your drinks, but the food's going to take a while because we're trying to make fresh Egg McMuffins for you.
Oh,
nice. I went, oh, well, all right. We'll pull up to your little hootie doody over there. So we do that. Lady comes out with a big bag of food, hands it to the car behind us, who's also waiting.
Oops.
It was our food.
Right.
So then that mix up gets meant we had to sit there longer. They finally bring us the food. We do a quick count, head count in the bag. We think we got it all. We get home and Carter busts it all open. There's meat on the Egg McMuffin and there's that stupid little no, they didn't even include the little hash brown patty. That's not in there at all. And there was no fries for her. They just jacked it up. So F you, McDonald's. It was a bad night.
Wait, so they didn't replace the
They didn't the pat- do it. They
the,
just wasn't
the hash
in there.
Browns with fries?
It just, no, they didn't give me anything. They didn't even give me the hash brown and therefore not the fries because they were supposed to replace the hash brown with the fries. They gave me neither of those things.
It sounds like the way you describe it, your McDonald's, do they put the hash brown patty in the Egg McMuffin?
No, they put it.
Okay.
No, it's
right,
just
a little separate
thing.
Grease bag.
Yeah, plus she opened it up because she had to check for meat, and sure enough, there's a big slab of ham in there. So she had to throw that out because she won't eat that. Anyway, my point is sometimes.
Cue the Joe Pesci clip. Do you have any of the Joe Pesci clips from Lethal Weapon 2 Film Sack many, many years ago?
I don't think so. Maybe. Should I try? Let's try.
No. All right.
PEC, right?
Yeah.
Pesh. How do you spell it? PEC.
PECSI.
SI.
I'm sorry, P-E-S-C-I.
How about just Joe? Oh, I found something with the name Joe in it. Let's see if this is it. You ready? Yeah. Here goes.
Whatever. Be an asshole.
Oh, it's Joey Pants. That's Joey Pants.
Oh, that was Pantoliano.
Yeah, it was in Bad Boys 2. Yeah, I don't have any. If I did, they wouldn't. I probably spelled Pesci wrong in all of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that.
Obsidian says, how I spell it is irrelevant. It's how you spelled it to put it in your soundboard that's important.
It's absolutely totally correct. There is no spell check in my soundboard, I can tell you that. All right, you went. Your tweet freaked me out last night. Do you want to explain this? What the hell happened here? What is this?
So about a month ago, I got a letter from Alamo Drafthouse that they were doing some really cool, like, screening series of classic movies, and one of them caught my eye because it was like, oh, it's the original 1954 Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D at the Alamo Drafthouse. Right. My uncle is a massive Universal Monsters fan. Like he used to race home from school, turn on the syndicated channel, not one of the big three networks back then, but the syndicated TV channel.
Yeah,
because it was always monster movie afternoons, and so he watched everything from, you know, Tor to Godzilla to Frankenstein meets Dracula and stuff like that, and all those classics. And so at first thing I did was I texted him and said, hey, I got and the other part of this is because I'm a member of the Alamo Drafthouse Rewards Club, whatever it's called, it was free. So I'm like, oh, do you want to go see this for free? It's at 10 p.m. on November 14th. He's like, yes, absolutely. Like, all right, cool. So I plugged in, got us tickets, and then completely forgot about it until yesterday at about 9 o'clock or 8:30. Yeah. And all of a sudden I get this call from George. He says, all right, you're ready for the movie tonight? I'm like, movie tonight, what are we seeing? And he said, we're seeing Creature from the Black Lagoon at Alamo Drafthouse. I'm like, oh, yeah, thanks for the reminder. Cool, yeah, I'm all set. I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
So,
did you go?
10 o'clock movie. Oh, hell yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. All right. And it was remastered with real 3D. So we got the sanitized real 3D glasses, hopefully, in the plastic bag that you tear open to prove that they've been sanitized and not rubbed against somebody's devil's anus.
Yeah, the devil's anus.
But the remastering really, this is the first time I've actually seen the whole thing all the way through. I've seen little bits of it, and I've seen bits of it even in 3D. But the whole thing just done really, really well in 3D. For 1954, you know, the discovery of the fossil of the thing, and the hand is reaching out at you, and, you know, you're just like sitting in your chair in the draft house, like, oh, this is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great and had a great time. It was a little, you know, tough getting up this morning.
Yeah, you're tired, I'm guessing. It's like going to see a midnight movie almost. Pretty
almost.
Close.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I remember when a midnight movie was fine with me, and now even a 10 o'clock movie is a chore.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Such an old fart. No. This is why the cover-thon ends at midnight this year, people.
Yeah, anyone noticing a trend here of Brian time shifting? I totally get it. I'm there. I know what you're saying. My problem is I stay up too late, and then I have to get up because we got this stuff in the morning. Plus, I have other work to do, and it kills me. Nope. But here we are. Look at us making the great sacrifices. Speaking of which, I wanted to give a shout out to a tadpooler who on Facebook, he doesn't know I'm doing this. He didn't ask for this, but I just felt bad for him. And I don't even know really what happened, but Dan Mitchell, a tadpooler, listens to the show, it was in the hospital for something. He's got some kind of weird bandage on his nose or in his upper lip. I can't tell what happened there. It looked gnarly, though. And they've got him in the full open back, like schmock. So it's not like it's a, you know, in and out kind of visit. It's a full on, like, here I am in a hospital bed thing. So, Dan, we don't know what happened to you, but we're just letting you know. We hear even the smallest crackle sounds from the tadpool. And we hope you're okay, whatever that is. I mean, he was okay enough to write a post on Facebook, so that's probably a good sign. But anyway.
Yeah, I hope you're doing all right. Jeez.
Whatever that was, may your nose heal. Or whatever's going on. It looked like it hurt. Whatever it is, it looked painful. Okay. Done away time.
We're going to steer this thing back on track.
Yeah. It's been off track for days, really. So now's the chance for us to get it back in there. I just got to Terpster text. I don't know why. Okay, we'll check that later. We'll add Brian Dunaway to the call. We'll also take your call here in a second. 801-285-9395. If you would like to participate in today's trivia, that's 801-285-9395.
Did you get your Skype fixed, by the way?
Yeah, it's all good. So
okay, good.
It worked yesterday. Right. And cool. I assume
I'm sorry, I interrupted your phone number. 801-285-9395.
That's the one. You know what? I should test it real quick, just for fun. Because I didn't test. There's Brian Dunaway talking.
Hey, Brian Dunaway.
Hey, hold on. Don't say. Oh, it's totally working. It's totally working. Okay, so we're good. Cool. We're good. Call that number as soon as you can, as soon as you want. Here's this. We have on the line with us one Brian Dunaway, who's here to be stumped. It's always good to have you here, Mr. BD. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Let's stump me today.
That sounds great. We also have a caller on the line. Who's this?
Hey, it's Big Jim.
Hey, Big Jim.
Big Jim.
Yeah. How come they call you Big Jim? Where'd that come
from? Jim.
Big Jim. Are you a big guy or what? You're a big fella? Is that the deal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How big? Give me your height.
Oh, yeah. You don't remember. You and I met at Nerdtacular this year.
Oh, we did. I didn't say how big you were, did I, or did I?
You were sizing me up. Let's put it that way.
Oh,
you were sizing me up. And you're like, oh yeah, he is a big guy. I hung out with Tom and Jerry a bunch.
Now I know who you are. Yes, I remember you now, and I remember this conversation. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, this is all very good. Someone's calling me.
Where are you from, Big Jim?
I am just outside of Hangar 18 in Dayton.
Dayton, Ohio.
Cool. Yeah, Ohio. Big state of Ohio. Well, all right. You're going to get to play this game that we're going to play with Brian Dunaway here. Brian Ibbett, though, will read the rules and explain how this works. How's it going to go?
I will do exactly that. Big Jim, we're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question in just a moment here. The answer to that trivia question is a number. Brian's going to give his guess. Little Brian is going to give his guess. And then we're going to turn to you, Big Jim, and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Brian Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package that includes this here Resident Evil 7 t-shirt, a set of four Blizzard capsule balls from BlizzCon. These are things you can only get if you go to BlizzCon. And you're going to get a set of four of them, as well as a free print and sticker pack from Mr. Scott Johnson. That is if you are correct.
Ooh. Nice. Yeah, you get a double dipper here from me and Brian this week. If you
That's
win.
Right.
Your topic today is Fallout 4.
Ooh, Fallout 4, eh? I like
Fallout 4.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Brian Dunaway, how do you feel about Fallout 4? Will you like that game?
Fallout 4, I played probably the least of the Fallouts I played. I'm looking forward to being spot on with my guest today. Bring it on.
All right. Well,
I'm sure you will.
I am 100% sure you will as well. Here is...
Their answer is 12.
Nailed it. Done. Good night, everybody. Nope. Here's the real question. In 2015, a man sent Bethesda a ton of bottle caps in exchange for a copy of Fallout 4. Do you remember this? It was a big story there for a bit.
I remember this. Yeah.
How many bottle caps did he send them in exchange for the game? And I'll give you a hint. It is more than 100 and less than 5,000. And they actually did this.
You thought we were going to ask something like, how many Fallout games were released before Fallout 4?
I did, really. I thought was like, how many stupid bees you have to kill and this part of the screen. And I was like, oh geez, I don't know.
Oh geez.
But this is actually good. I actually remember this news article.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have sent more than five bottle caps. You've bought a bottle lately? They're expensive.
Yeah, that's the thing. Unless you're out collecting them in some other way, it's not actually very cheap. You're gonna pay more for that game than you would if you just paid cash for it.
Right.
The cheapest bottle caps I can get right now, I think, are like the 69-cent Coca-Colas they sell at the gas station that are or like the mini ones.
Oh yeah.
Oh, do you think they would have accepted the plastic ones, or do you think they'd have to accept like just the metal ones?
No, these are metal that I'm talking about. These like the little 110 calorie mini bottles that they sell.
I think Brian asked a good question. I wonder if they took the plastic ones also because we live in a time where the metal ones are less prevalent. I don't know.
Right. Here's what you do. You go to any bar and say, hey, can I grab all your bottle caps from serving bottles of beer last night?
Yeah. Right.
That'll work.
It, And then some guy goes, I don't even work here, man. Say whatever you want.
Right? You can have whatever you want.
Yeah, it's probably more accurate. Yeah.
All right. So, sorry, did you say a number? You didn't say a number yet.
Oh, I said a number beforehand, but I was just joshing. So, yeah, I remember this story a little bit, and I mean, it'd be tough to collect 5,000. That sounds insanely high, so I guess that's why you went with that number.
Yeah.
And 100, I mean, that's not even worth it, even to Bethesda. Come on.
Yeah,
I agree. So it's going to have to be something reasonable, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even waste my time if I had anything less than 200 bottle caps.
200.
It's 200.
Right? By the way, that's me.
I'm not guessing that. I'm saying that would be okay. Me. So I'm thinking 257.
Okay, but let's say it was 200 just for the – I'm not going to say that for your answer, but I did the math here. If you bought 69-cent mini bottle metal capped Cokes from that gas station you were talking about,
right?
That game, if that's all you did, that game would cost you $138.
Oh wow!
Right, but like you said, I mean, he could went to bars and got some free bottle caps, right.
Sporting events, because they never let you keep the cap of your drink at the sporting events.
That's true.
They want you hucking the bottle onto the field or something.
Yeah. Totally.
And maybe he had some kind of inside route too. Maybe he was a bartender.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. He could be. I didn't think about
that. Oh, by the way, I like that Ibbitt calls the real sugar Coca-Colas the Mexican Coca-Colas.
That's what we call them here too.
Yeah, that's what they used to be. Like now they've got the real sugar ones from the US, but when you originally saw those glass bottles in the kind of the specialty stores, they all had a white printed label because the actual printing on the bottle was in Spanish.
Yeah, they came from Mexico where they bottled them there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because they didn't use that corn sugar crap that we use.
Right. That's right.
Real cane sugar.
Yeah, this is all, it's all shifted back now where people think they want real sugar again and, you know, it's all weird now. But yeah, we call them Mexican Cokes as well. The best stuff is the Pepsi.
Now we have to have transparent walls so when they throw the cases of Coke over the wall.
Yeah, so we can see them. We can see them that way. Right?
We can see them. Exactly.
Yeah, it needs to be transparent. I'm going to ask Brian Ibbitt if 257 is correct. Is that the right number?
257 is incorrect. Big Jim, is the number bigger or smaller than 257? Bigger or smaller.
Well, I mean, we have to go big, right? So it's going to be more.
Got to go big or go home is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Let's say more than that. Well, the chat room.
I'm saying more.
Okay, let's find out if this is correct. Is it more?
Congratulations.
It is more.
You're a winner.
Here's how much more. 2,240 bottle caps.
Whoa.
Yeah, now.
Wow, that's more than I wrote down.
Yeah, it's a lot. So if we said 2,240 times 0.69, if you did it again with those Cokes in that gas station, $1,545.60. is what he paid for this video game.
Is there a
darn good game for that amount?
No kidding.
Right. Right.
No kidding.
Is there any significance to the 2,240? Is that something in the game that you know is a reference, or is that just where this guy stopped and said, this ought to be enough?
I think it's random because I played that game all the way once and then started in the second game, and I don't remember any reference to that number.
I gotta know the weight of that many bottle caps. I gotta know a couple things for. I gotta know what's the scrap metal value of it, and also how much did it cost to ship if he shipped.
Yeah,
all of these are really good questions.
You get a flat rate. You get a flat pack shipping with U.S. Postal Service. It's probably not going to be more than $200 or $300 to ship that out there. Yeah. I would guess.
But even
I just work in logistics. That's just my job. I mean, I don't know anything about.
Sure. But if you did it for $200 shipping, that's like four copies of the damn game. That's so dumb.
Right. Even if you got all the bottle caps for free from the local bar, and said, "All right, I'm going to send these to Bethesda."
Yeah.
He still had to pay for shipping, and shipping was more than the game.
Yeah, I think Bethesda did right by sending it to him. Because he, in theory, this was way not worth it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I hope they sent him all sorts of things. I hope they got more than just this game. But anyway, there's that. Well done. All you got to do, Big Jim, is send us emails, coverville@gmail.com. Brian will forward me your information, and I'll get you the print packs while he gets you everything else.
Indeed.
Congratulations, and good job. Well done.
Good job, sir.
Brian Dunaway, the pleasure has been ours to have you here. We did a boop show 2 days ago that I think people should check out over frogpants.com/boop. And you can, along with me, watch Brian play Don't Starve. You should stream some of that, dude. You should stream Don't Starve.
I'm going to totally stream that until I get hungry. And
then starve, yeah. I wonder how I want to watch that stream because I want to see you play that game, which I found frustrating. I don't like survival games at all, and that's a survival game. And while I really dig its aesthetic and its look and its tone and everything, I don't like actually playing things where I'm going to die if I don't eat or when it gets dark, shit can kill me. Like, it's not interesting to me. So when you do that, let people know, will you?
Don't forget my added challenge of using the Steam controller with that game, because that thing has a tons of shortcuts that you have to use with the keyboard. But the Steam controller is supposed to be able to handle it all. We're going to see.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. One analog stick. Good luck with that. that's going to do it. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. That's where you can find that and so much more in Brian Dunaway's life. Brian Dunaway, take it easy. Have fun. We'll see you.
Love you guys.
Bye.
See you, Brian.
Me. All right, Brian. You, Brian, not the other Brian.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I was waiting until you finished that thought. There was a comma.
Yeah. Well, now there's.
Then you added the parenthetical.
Now there's this.
Oh, we playing the game.
Oh, here? Shit. That's not it. This is the one. My brain couldn't figure it out. Hey, it's the news brought to you by
Dog farts.
Yeah, my dog farted last night. I had her in the room with me. We usually keep her in a kennel at night, and since Kim's out of town, I'm like, you know what? Let's have a nice warm puppy there with me all night.
It's from eating all that McDonald's ham is what did it to her.
Might have done, but about 2:30 in the morning, she's just like right next to me. Yeah.
Tell me you did not take that ham and just add it as another layer onto your Big Mac.
No, she threw it out. I didn't go near it. So.
All right.
I tried to be good. Yes. Oh, I should have, you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, I tried to be good by going to McDonald's.
It was all right.
You could only try so hard.
It was all right. It wasn't the worst thing I've put in my body. Let's put it that way. let's dive in here to some things. So this is a Utah story. You know I like it when we have local Colorado or Utah things going on in the news.
Yep.
A petition works to change a Utah high school's mascot to some other name, because right now they think it sounds like a male unit, a male anatomy.
This blows my mind.
Yeah, it's pretty
plus
good.
Plus, I think they're... Yeah, okay.
I'll explain. But I need to hear... You're going to have some thoughts, and I want to hear those.
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
Okay. An online petition has gained more than 2,600 signatures to change the name of the mascot in the new high school to be built in Farmington. Now, Farmington's north of me, north of Salt Lake, and it is a kind of smallish town. Used to be, you guessed it, a farm town.
Oh, okay.
Farmington.
Farming town.
Yeah. Sure. And it has, our Utah, like, local amusement park is there. It's called Lagoon. I've talked about Lagoon before, it's like the rides are all old, used German ones and stuff. It's fine. It's a good place. I like it. I love going up there. We'd go all the time. I haven't been in a while, but, you know, it's a fine amusement park. But anyway, that's who these people are. That gives you a little context. The mascot will be the phoenix, a bird that rises from the ashes in Greek mythology. So far, so good.
Sure.
The petition explains, when cheering for the team, no one will say, "Go Phoenix." They will instead use the plural form of phoenix and say, "Go Phoenixes." Some say
Hold on. Phoenixes.
Oh, is that how you
not
say?
Not phoenixes, yes, because you wouldn't pronounce it as an X.
Oh, phoenixes.
This is where I call bullshit on the whole damn thing. And I don't use that term lightly, as you can verify.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that there's a petition, and I believe that he's got 2,600 signatures, although I would love to know if some of those names that people signed on there for names like, you know, Dick Holden and Jack McGroin or something like that.
I like Jack McGroin. That's a good one.
But no one is going to say, oh, well, the plural form of Phoenix is Phoenixes.
Yeah, no one's going to say it. First of all, they're going to do like I did and say, "Go Phoenixes."
No, they're going to say, "Go Phoenix."
Yeah, they're not going to say Phoenixes. I guarantee them. Well, they might now. They might now, because this has been made such a big deal out of it. Because this is what happens. Now they brought, you know, attention to it, and it's just shithole. But anyway, it says here, the petition started by Farmington's Kyle Fronten goes on to say there will be a never-ending barrage of references to male anatomy directed at our children. Won't someone think of the children? I have kids that will go to this school, and that's a big part of it. I don't want it to be a joke. I want it to be a. I don't want it to be a laughing stock. You know, stock rhymes with the word.
Oh yeah. Oh, what if people said stocks? Boy, that sounds an awful lot like another word there. Frotten, Kyle Frotten.
Which also sounds like. No, I can't think of a word. However, Jackson Carter and Celeste Burgoyne, seniors at Viewmont High School, think the petition is the problem. I feel like they created a problem when there was no problem originally, says Carter, and I completely freaking agree with this kid.
Brilliance of children. They are absolutely correct.
He says, we do use the mascots in their plural form, but just saying Phoenix even sounds amazing.
No kidding.
Spokesman for the Davis County School District, Chris Williams, seems to agree. I think that guy made it a problem, and now troll kids are going to say penises because they'll think it's funny. Done, guys. Well done.
Yeah, right. I absolutely think, and I know that you'll corroborate, I know that you'll agree with me.
Yeah.
This is Kyle Frotten has some situation where he's a doth protest too mucher.
Yep.
Right? He's got some situation where he likes the male anatomy and is hiding his like for the male anatomy.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with liking the male anatomy. Nothing at all wrong with that.
It's fine. It's a good, it's nice.
But hiding that you like the male anatomy and having it vent out in this smokestack is definitely a bad idea.
Agreed. I completely agree. There's something fishy going on with that guy. You can always tell. You can always tell, man. Always. Right. By the way, somebody was talking. I got the most reamed out, yelled at thing yesterday on YouTube because we made some comment about Roy Moore. There's some real strong Roy Moore supporters out there.
Of
who just think
are.
This is just such a big hit job. And I would say, I wanted to say this. What was I going to say about it? Oh, has anyone checked to see how old his wife is? How old is Roy Moore's wife? I'm just checking. Is Roy
Why? Moore's... Why? It sounds like it's just going to go down a bad rabbit hole.
Well, let's find out. Let's see.
I think it says right on his, even if you just Google his name, it shows Kayla Moore is his wife. She was... Well, they married in 1985.
Yeah.
He was 38 when he married 24-year-old, so she's 14 years younger than him.
It sounds, sounds like it might fit. It's not a huge, kind of like his whole thing where it's like, he's hanging around the mall. He's not like outright.
If he was 25 when he met her, then I'd say, yeah, we've got an issue. But he was 38 and he married a 24-year-old, and it's like, all right, that's not a,
It's still a pretty big chunk, though. I'm not saying it's the worst thing, and there's certainly people with more disparate marriage numbers than that.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'm just saying. I feel like when he was 38 and she was 24, I'll bet her parents weren't all gung-ho on this. But they were like, really? He's almost 40? Like if he was 2 years older, if he was 40 and she was 24, that'd be a little weird. Wouldn't it?
No. Women mature faster than men anyway, so, it's always skewed a little bit more towards the male being older and the woman being younger.
I think he found a way to legally marry somebody a lot younger than him. That's what I think happened. Just throwing
it out there. It's not really finding a way. It's not really like he had to game the system.
Well, he just had to wait long enough.
She's of age.
If you spend enough time at the mall, eventually you wait long enough and you're like, all right, well, now I can marry one of these, right? Because when he was hanging around the mall and he was 32 and he was dating 14 to 16-year-olds, supposedly.
Right.
Allegedly. Right. What's the age difference there? So if he was 32, that would make them, 10 less would be 22, plus another 4 would be, so they were 16, 17. It fits right in.
All right, here's a weird one. Major Dempreux says half your age plus 7 is the agreed upon rule for creepy / not creepy. So wait a minute. All right, so...
Half your age plus 7?
Half your age plus 7. So if you're 40,
okay,
then 27 is the cutoff for how old you can marry somebody and have it not be creepy.
Okay, so she was in creepy land because she was 23, 4, and he was 38. Well, no, actually, that's still the same math, isn't it?
It would have been pretty close, yeah. I mean, it's...
Like a year off.
Well, let's even agree. Half your age plus 7 is true. So wait a minute. So when Richie McRichstein, whatever his name was, that married Anna Nicole Smith when he was 90. Actually, no, I guess that applies. The rule works.
No, the rule works because it was creepy.
She was considerably younger than 52.
Yeah. Or all the girls that Hugh Hefner ended up with. They're all right. On the creepy side of the map.
I think all of this is accurate.
Yeah.
Wow, Frey Hart, 22-year age difference between you and your husband. And there's a lot of people who are talking about that, like 19-year-old difference for Zalix's grandparents. Morningwood 76, wife is 13 years younger than me, and he's not some weirdo, he says.
Except for his name is Morningwood 76 in the chat room. I would like to just point that out. That's a little weird. Just a little. Okay. I'm all just right. saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not judging anybody for their thing. I am judging Roy Moore because he was hanging around the mall at 32 picking up 14-year-olds. It's weird.
That is right. Absolutely. And that is what needs to be.
That's weird.
What needs to be the highlighter, the yellow highlighter needs to circle that point, not the point that, all right, is he and his wife were 14 years.
Unless when he was 32 is when he first eyeballed her, though, because she would have been 14, 13, 15, something like that. Then that's possible. She could have been one of those mall kids is what I'm saying.
Right. Right. Well, she would have been, if he was 32, she would have been 18.
17 and a half.
Fine.
What's the age of consent down there anyway? I don't even know. Is it different in Alabama? I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm glad to know.
Yeah.
So 2 years apart for Frey Hart. All right. I don't know what the age of consent is anywhere. And I think not knowing that is
half the battle. Volume.
Yeah, exactly. Not knowing that is a good thing for me, right? Like, yeah. Brian's been studying the age of consent in all the different states of the union.
Yeah, I feel bad for, like, reporters that are trying to figure this stuff out. And they're like, well, wait a minute. We should find out, get the background on how the state works, right. And now they got to search
Google
for all that stuff.
Their Google history, search history is, what is the age of consent in Alabama?
Yep. Honey, how do you do a incognito window? Anyway, hey, look at this. This is dumb. Aldi is a brand of nuts. They make nuts.
No, it's a supermarket chain, Aldi.
Oh, I thought it was a nut brand. Oh, it's an Aldi. No. Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yes.
They have recalled nuts because the packet of nuts didn't warn that it contained nuts. This is so stupid.
This is why isn't Kyle Frotten petitioning on this?
No,
here's
kidding.
Where you need to direct your energy, Kyle Frotten.
No freaking kidding. This supermarket chain says Clancy's barbecue flavored coated peanuts, right there in the title,
right.
Contain cashew nuts, which is not printed on the label, and is advising anyone with a nut allergy to avoid them. Anyone who's purchased a bag of these peanuts in the 200 gram size before the end of 7/2018, that's July of next year, and a certain batch is advised to return to the store that they got them from. Though the barbecue flavor coated peanuts are only available in three regional areas. There is fears it couldn't have been sorry could have been bought by customers from anywhere in the UK passing through those regions. So this is a UK thing. No other products were thought to be affected. The reaction to the peanuts is one of the most common food allergies, but peanuts are from the legume family and in fact grow underground. Cashews are part of the tree nut family alongside almonds and walnuts. Okay. So that's maybe why. But
yeah, that is why.
But it's nuts. And if all you had to put on the label is contains nuts?
Well, no, but that is the thing, is that tree nuts are definitely, like you, they're, tree nuts is, I think, the third most common food allergy after dairy and gluten or seafood or shellfish. Dang it, I can't remember. But it's up there. We actually had a trivia question about this where we had to name the top 10 food allergies.
Yeah.
And I think even we had to get them in order.
But I think, I guess what I'm confusing it with is over here, you only have to say contains nuts. If they have to be specific over there, then I guess I can see the problem.
That's a problem. If let's say you're allergic to tree nuts, but you like peanuts.
Yeah.
You got to watch out because it's like, oh, okay, well, this bag of peanuts should be fine. Oh, wait, there's tree nuts in there as well.
Mm. Do you have an allergy to any kind of food? Do you know?
Nothing. No. Do you think you could look like me and have an allergy to some kind of food?
Well, maybe you're just allergic to one and it puffed you up.
Actually, take that back. I do avoid dairy. I think it messes with me. I wouldn't call it an allergy, but
just slightly lactose intolerant. little bit.
Yeah, you remember? You remember when I crop dusted the snowbird when we were checking it out for the very first Nurtacular?
Yeah, it was 2013 or 12 or something, and you were farting.
It was really early on. Yeah, I was like stopped by. That was before I knew what was going on. We had stopped by, and I got a latte on the way up there with Corinne and Jason. And for whatever reason, that just ruined me for the rest of the day. I'm like, oh my god, I can't fart in Corinne and Jason's car. Dang it! So as soon as we got out. Right, we got up to Snowbird, and I'm like, oh wow, this let me go take a look at this view over here. And yeah. So I go over to the edge and
and I filmed this thing, and I was always wondering why Brian was behind everyone all the time and like off in a corner.
Oh, it wasn't the entire time. I mean, I was, you know,
good.
It was just, you know, a couple times, but I think you made note of it one time, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right. Let's see. Cards Against Humanity bought a piece of land on the U.S. border so Trump can't build a wall.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. The dirty and downright offensive video or card game Cards Against Humanity is back with another stunt. This time they're taking aim at Trump's campaign promises. The company announced. This is crazy to me. Its holiday promotion on Tuesday called Cards Against Humanity Saves America. Essentially, the company purchased a plot of vacant land on the border between the United States and Mexico, making it extremely difficult for Trump to build his expensive border wall on the U.S. taxpayers which taxpayers will eventually pay for. They go on to say a bunch of shitty stuff that they don't like the president, blah, 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 whatever. I'm not reading that here.
I know, but I love that first sentence. It's so great.
All right, says this. I'll read the first one. Donald Trump, quote. Here's a quote from the Cards Against Humanity people. Donald Trump is a preposterous golem who is afraid of Mexicans. All right, so you get the idea. Fork over $15 of your hard-earned cash to Cards Against Humanity, and they will send you six surprises in the month of December, including an illustrated map of the land, a certificate of promise to fight the wall, and some new cards. So they are going all in on...
And Big Jim in the chat room, who, congratulations for winning earlier, Big Jim, says... it's eminent domain. It's stupid. The government will just take part of the land. Well, part of what they're doing is not just buying the land, but also they've retained a law firm that specializes in eminent domain just to make it as time-consuming and expensive as possible for them to take the land back.
Yeah, they know. They know how that works. They're just being an annoyance, really. They're trolling.
Yeah, they're trolling.
Yeah, I don't necessarily say it's a bad idea. I think I would not want to do it, but...
Right.
If I'm a little card company that could, you know, I don't know if I want to be that kind of scrutiny, but whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wind at your back. Godspeed.
Good luck with that.
Final story. A driver was fined after playing, this is for you, Brian, playing Pokemon Go while driving next to the police officer. For those who still... if you're still playing Pokemon Go, you still got to catch them all. It's important to remember that there is a proper time and place. Playing while driving and pulling up next to a police cruiser at the same time is neither of those. It's exactly what happened over the weekend when VPD busted Vancouver driver for doing just that. That's the Vancouver Police Department. Pulled up beside two police officers. In the tweet, the VPD said that the game may be fun, but it's not worth risking your life or the life of others so that you can play while driving. Driver received $368 Canadian fine for his devotion to the game while driving. Weirdly enough, it isn't the first time this has happened. Recently, back in late September, a Burnaby driver was ticketed for doing the exact same thing. I'm guessing this happens. We don't maybe hear about them, but I'm sure these happen all over the place. Like any other reason people are doing dumb things while they're driving, I'm sure Pokemon Go's come up a number of times. But isn't it supposed to be set not to work while you're driving or something? And did that change?
It's not supposed to work while you're driving unless you go slow or something like that. Or I think you can catch while you're driving, but you can't spend Pokestops if you're going over a certain speed, and it doesn't count towards like your egg hatching and stuff like that. But yeah, get a Pokemon Go Plus. Get one of those little things for your wrist. If you're going to do it while you're driving, you'll at least be able to catch them while you do that. But come on, man.
Yeah, you dipshits. All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, Tom's Tech Time, recommendals, and more. But before we do that, a song, if you please.
Sure. I Hate You. Just Kidding.
Jeez.
Is the name of a band. I love that name. And they're releasing their brand new album, which is called Constellations. This is so cool. It's courtesy of Atwood Magazine and Sub Rosa Curation for sending this over to me. They're going to be performing tonight at the Satellite in Los Angeles, California. I would, after listening to this song, I would happily go see them because it's just what scratches my itch. The album is actually coming out on Groundhog Day, February 2nd, 2018. And it's been a 5-year hiatus for the band from releasing anything. So excited to see what these two are doing. It's Jeremy and Jesse Brock, husband and wife songwriting duo called I Hate You, Just Kidding. It's a great name, too, if you're a married couple with
sure,
a band.
Sure.
The new album, Constellations, comes out next year. This is the first single from the album called Smokestacks.
This episode is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, now featuring content from lynda.com, the leader in online learning for the past 20 years. LinkedIn Learning is for problem solvers, for doers, for people who want to succeed, like you. Maybe you want to develop a business plan, develop a growth market strategy, or design a website. Everything you need to accomplish and more is right there on LinkedIn Learning. You might be an entrepreneur or a freelancer, and you need to be a jack of all trades sometimes. I know what this feels like. Ready for any challenge that comes your way. LinkedIn Learning is your Swiss Army knife of applicable skills. They have courses on everything from Adobe Photoshop, social media, or small businesses, bootstrapping your business, design thinking, and more. Popular topics also include leadership, management, marketing, data science, and project management. You can quickly find the right video course that's right for you. I did. It's for all experience levels, too, by the way. You can explore course recommendations from curated lists. People who really know their stuff. You want to jump to a specific chapter? You can do that. Or you can watch the whole thing. Learn at your own pace, using whatever method you prefer, from anywhere in the world. That's right. No hidden charges or upsells. Access to the courses, no matter where you're at. And Doesn't matter if it's on a tablet, a computer, a mobile device. It doesn't matter. Got a special deal for you guys. You can get 30-day free trial, like we've mentioned before, with LinkedIn Learning today by visiting linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. That TMS is all lowercase. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Remember, when you support our sponsors, you make this podcast possible. Thank you guys so much, and check them out.
I know my own needs. And what I need from an automobile, I know I get from this new Cordova. I could ask for nothing beyond the quality of Cordova's workmanship, the tastefulness of its appearance. I request nothing beyond the thickly cushioned luxury of seats available even in soft Corinthian leather.
Oh, yeah. Well, my head feels like a mashed potato.
Let's do the time warp again.
This is the morning stream.
I did two of those today. I didn't mean to do that.
All right, how's my audio? Am I?
Let's check. Let's see.
Am I back to normal or am I still
I think you're
low?
Back to normal-ish. Say weird. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're check, better
check,
now.
Check.
Yeah, you're okay, better now. Weird. That was weird. It just got all quiet. Maybe Skype was being dumb.
Skype just being poo. By the way, it's funny. With all the talk about Pokemon Go a minute ago, you know, you and I still have not talked about Harry Potter Wizards Unite, which is the Harry Potter version that Niantic is working on for next year.
Yeah, who did I talk to about this, though? Somebody and I talked. Wasn't
Might
I guess
been
it wasn't
show
you.
Thing?
Maybe I thought it was you.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Yeah.
I don't know I things. Don't. I don't know what's happening.
Know.
This whole world
can't
is
keep
a...
track of all the people you do shows with, Scott. I know.
Will it let me capture, I assume I can capture beasts on the corner and that sort of thing?
I imagine it's going to be fantastic beasts and how to catch them and evolve them.
Mm. I swear we talked about this and it was me and you.
Well, we talked about it. Jury says that you might have been talking about it with Jury. You and I actually talked about it way back before they announced it and saying, you know, Ghostbusters would be a great way to do this, or Harry Potter where you're catching beasts and stuff like that. So
totally could have been.
Yeah.
Who knows? You know who might know? This guy.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Oh, my gosh. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Tom, welcome to the show.
Yay, Tom.
Well, thank you, Scott and Brian. It's lovely to be here.
Good to have you here, as always. Do you have any idea what's happening with the catch a bunch of Harry Potter creatures a phone
Not
app?
Not a bit of it.
Okay,
nope.
Great. It's good to have you. DailyTechNewsShow.com.
Thanks,
everybody.
It's been a great show. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, that's not what you come here for. It's not Pokemon news time. It's time for Tom to come here and talk about technology, damn it. It's Wednesday. That's Daily Tech News Show, the one I get to be on, which I freaking love. Today, Patrick Norton's joining us, which is also very exciting. And all of that happening regardless of whatever's happening in the news, because Tom always knows right now. And that's why he comes to TMS and he tells us now. He tells us early, gives us an idea of what might be coming. So, Tom, what's happening in the world?
I got nothing. No, I'm just kidding. there's lots of stuff going on. I've been messing around with the iPhone 10 now.
Mm.
So I've got some thoughts on that. But the thing I'm most excited about, to be honest, is Firefox 57. It is screaming fast. The interface is gorgeous. It's got some problems. It's not perfect. But Firefox is back in the race. If you've been thinking Chrome was getting a little bloated and slow, or maybe you just wanted to change, or you want to try something else out, and you haven't looked at Firefox lately, I know I sound like I'm doing an ad, but I'm not. It's really good.
I would like to agree with you 100%.
But you can't.
Well, I'm using it now. In fact, I think I may have switched, and I may stay here unless Chrome can do something to really blow my mind, because I'm really happy with it. It is very peppy, like you said, whole new design. All of that still feels good. It used to feel just kind of thick and clunky, and you know, like it hadn't quite evolved out of the early days of independent browsers, and now it feels like a really, really solid piece of browser tech, and it imported all my Google stuff without any problem either, so it wasn't even like a hiccup. I didn't have to log anything or do anything weird. Mm-hmm. And it's great. I actually have no complaints. What are the problems people are reporting with it? Is it anything specific?
Well, I'm only talking from my own personal experience, You can't run Google Hangouts in it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hangouts on Air.
I haven't tried that yet.
Because Google requires a plugin if you're not using Chrome, and the plugin is not allowed by Firefox, so there's just no way to do it.
Wow.
At least, well, you know, every time I say there's just no way, somebody raises their hand and goes, well, the workaround is you change the browser ID settings, and you know, but there's no easy way. There's not a way. You know, the whole beauty of Hangouts on Air is I send you a link, you click it, done. We don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So that was an issue with it yesterday. Just now, I ran into a little cut and paste error, which is a problem that's been going on with Firefox for years, where sometimes its security settings, and this is what I like about Firefox, is it errs on the side of security. Mm. Sometimes its security settings say, nah, we don't really want to allow that to be pasted. Mm. And then you have to do a bunch of workarounds, either going into about config or maybe getting an add-on or something. So that's something that was kind of frustrating just now. I ended up going into Gmail in Chrome and making a draft of the thing I wanted to paste, and then going into Gmail and Firefox and pasting it out so that Firefox would be like, yes, that okay, I will paste that because it's in me.
Yeah, I haven't had that problem. I do a lot of cut and pasting, but it sounds like it might be something that'll crop up. But generally speaking,
I've done plenty of cut and pasting in Firefox and not had this problem. It's only certain programs. So I was cutting from a piece of software, and that's why Firefox is like, I don't know if I trust that.
Mm, interesting. So
that's how Firefox does.
All the stuff I use browsers for the most part, like, you know, Google Docs and my calendar stuff and various websites and stuff, I've been able to throw just about everything out. I don't have any problems. It runs really fast. It seems to be smart about when I need to save a password, when I don't. Just all the stuff you want, it seems to be doing. I noticed they also dropped their deal with Yahoo. It's no longer the default search engine. It's now Google again.
Yeah, they went back to Google.
Yeah.
Now, you may, if you installed Firefox with Yahoo as the default, or if you changed your default to Yahoo, if you upgrade to Firefox 57, or it's also called Firefox Quantum, you will still see Yahoo. If you're like, wait a minute, I upgraded and it still says Yahoo, that's why.
Mm.
If you've changed your default, then it's going to respect that.
Yeah.
So it's only like a brand new installation, or if you had Google already, it'll keep it.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I hope it, you know, there's things that Chrome does poorly as well. So, you know, pound for pound, I'm feeling pretty solid about the switch, and I am going to give it a bunch of time and see, and really throw everything I do at it from a workflow perspective to see if I can get it to fart. But so far, it's kind of like this weird... I mean, part of me loves Firefox for what it always was anyway, and I loved... it was kind of this rebel thing back in the IE days, and it was so great to have this independent thing. And then Chrome came and kind of just ate their lunch, and everybody's lunch, really. And so I'm feeling some nostalgia for it.
And they were like, hey, that was my lunch.
Yeah, what are you doing with my lunch? I'm making a new lunch now.
Now, I noticed they also released in tandem with this a new iOS app, and presumably a new Android version of Firefox as well. Is there parity of where I can say, okay, on my iPad, I'm on Firefox looking at an article. Can I zip it to my, you know, send it over to my computer as well running
Firefox?
Well,
you could before.
Yeah, you could do that
if
before.
If you sign up with Firefox Sync.
Oh, it's the same thing. Right.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
You can sync your tabs over and look at history and all of that.
Ooh, sure.
So that hasn't changed.
The actual,
I might make the switch myself.
The actual AirDrop functionality that Safari has. Safari's got some extra hooks that I don't think any of the other browsers might have on iOS. But but for the most part, yes, it's like a
funny that.
Yeah, funny how that works, right? But maybe
well,
not.
That's like the fact that the Chrome browser is the only engine on Android, really.
Right.
Although Android is a little looser on what it will allow, so you can have some browsers that don't use the Chrome engine, whereas iOS, man, it's the Safari engine in there. No, even if it's Chrome, it's the Safari engine. If it's Firefox, it's the Safari engine.
Yeah,
they don't allow anybody else.
Right. And then, you know, a lot of them are based on that same, well, at least on the desktop, like the tech that Safari uses for their backend is the same core stuff that you use in, it may be Chrome that I'm thinking of. What was it called? Mm-hmm. What, not WebKit? Yeah, WebKit.
Mm-hmm. Chrome is on a different engine now.
Is it?
And Safari used to share WebKit, but now they're not.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Chrome has Spark.
Probably missed that. Spark. Well, anyway, the bottom line is, hey, yo, Firefox might be back, and it's worth trying. I mean, I'm not going to evangelize it into the ground, and chances are if you're happy with whatever browser you're using, you'd probably still be happy with it. But if you are looking for a change of scenery, want to move the furniture around a little bit, I like to do that once in a while. Also, there continues to be a very rich, thriving add-on community for it. So all your ad blockers, all your weird stuff, like Chrome, there's plenty of that happening over there as well.
Well,
so that's
actually a good point. One of the folks in the DTNS Slack was complaining that they had a lot of add-ons and not all of them work in the new version of 57 because they disallowed certain things.
Oh,
so
they were already
your
Firefox.
Mileage may vary.
Yeah.
All mine worked.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems either jumping up. But yeah, mileage, as they say, as the kids say, may vary.
Your kilometerage may vary for the Europeans.
So today, packed house on DTNS. Anything we should know or think about before we get there?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Patrick Norton's coming in. We're going to be talking some hardware, as we do with him. And, of course, Sarah Lane, Scott Johnson, myself, Roger Chang, going over the news of the day. There's that new Kickstarter Patreon competitor called Drip. There's also Google introducing a job seeker, a few extra features on its job seeker bulletin, including a salary finder. Mm. So when you're applying for a job, you can be like, what should they be offering me?
Yeah.
So yeah, that and more coming up at dailytechnewsshow.com.
And tell people about your new book, where they can get it, because Tom writes books.
Oh, sure. The Bavaria has been cut off from the other colony starships due to an ancient prohibition against powering its broken engines. Nath is volunteered to travel to the far end of the ship to search for the lost notes of Bev Bora, which may reveal the secret to restoring full power. Intrigued? There's Death by Jaguar, too. All of that and more in Pavaria. Search for it on Amazon or go to tommerrittbooks.com. Yep. And hey, if you've picked it up, which I know some of you had and you liked it, please go review it on Amazon as well.
Yeah, very nice. By the way, quick update. T2T2, the much-respected technology genius of all of Lithuania, says Firefox no longer supports old add-ons, but all Chrome add-ons can now be ported over easily. That's good news.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So if there's a Chrome thing you just had to have, looks like porting's easy, and then you'll start to see that stuff really quick. Anyway, there you go. Firefox Quantum, Tom's new book, and Daily Tech News Show. What else can you ask for?
And T2T2.
And T2T2.
Everything you need.
T2T2. All right, dude. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Oh, 2:30 Mountain Time, everybody. That's when we'll be on there. All right, what the hell's going on?
Cool.
my daughter's funny. She sends me this thing. She says, "Dad, please call me as soon as you can. It's important." I'm like,
"Oh."
I'm like, what? So I sent her a thing. I said, "I'm on the show, but is this an emergency?" And she says, "No, just call me as soon as you're off." And then I said, "Are you sure? I'm a little worried." And then she didn't answer for a long time. And then she says, "I'm okay. Just call me." I said, "Okay, I'll be off in about 40. Does that work?" "Oh, that totally works fine." Smiley face. Gosh dang it. Didn't I train my kids not to alarm me?
They're pulling Johnsons. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I guess everything's fine. Let's get Nicole.
Call me as soon as possible, but it's not an emergency. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Totally me. I would do that. All right. Nicole time. We've been conversing with her avatars all morning.
With her and emojis.
Yeah,
yes.
Which is pretty great. And she has a theme even. I'm going to play it. It's right here, everybody. Check it out right there. Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One Nicole Spagnolo, who is here with us and excited to be here. How's your, you like that iPhone X face thing, don't you? It's fun.
Well, I just got it yesterday. And Mateo sent me one this morning. I was like, oh, well, look at that.
Mm.
I didn't know you could do it.
Yeah, they're cute.
So, of course, I started doing it all over
the place. They're adorbs. It's the number one selling feature of a very expensive phone. But no,
it's kind of weird. Yeah, I'm just trying to get used to not having a button.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was trying to pay for my Dunkin' Donuts this morning. I'm like, what do I do?
Oh, because you'd probably do the thing where you double tap. Oh, no. What do you do?
How do you pay?
You double tap the side button to get to the pay screen, right?
Well, what I set it up for face recognition, so it unlocked it. But I was like, how do I get into the apps? There's my news. And I'm like at the beginning of the line. I was like, And then I finally get into the app, and it's like, you need to log in. I was like, crap.
Yeah.
So I just paid for my cash.
Just give him some cash.
Exactly.
Well, Nicole comes on Wednesdays. We talk
about... Oh my gosh, you had to pull out your wallet and pay for your coffee.
It's so old school, man.
Yeah.
It's like we're living in the 90s again. We're doing streaming stuff.
Commercial.
Which commercial? Did they do one like that?
Remember the commercial? It's like a Visa commercial where it's Christmas time and they're all paying with their cards and then somebody pays with cash and then everybody goes, everything stops.
Yeah, because they just can't believe someone would use cash. I used a 20 for something the other day, and the guy at the cash register did look at me funny. Almost like, well, yeah. I mean, haven't seen this in about 3 hours. I'm like,
right.
Okay. I still have paper money once in a while, everybody.
Paper.
Paper. Have you ever seen it?
Is this that Bitcoin I've been hearing so much about?
Is this Bitcoin? I'm going to ask that everywhere I go where it's not. Where it's not a credit card.
Except Bitcoin.
Yeah. You guys do Bitcoin? No? Okay. I'll pay for my burger with cash. Nicole's here. We're talking streaming stuff, things that stream, and we talk about them on this segment called Recommentals. And the tradition is we start with Brian's Recommental with a clip, and do you want to set this up?
No.
Great.
All right. I'm going to set it up with this. Is that I may have recommended this a couple of years ago, but not this specific thing.
Oh. All right.
So
we'll take two. We'll take two. It's fine.
Sometimes I can't remember. We've been doing this show a long time.
We have been doing it a long time.
Yeah, this segment is as old as 2012. No.
When did you start
11.
Doing TMS?
11.
Yeah.
Was it that year?
But for a while, it was just you recommending stuff. Tom or Scott and I wouldn't recommend things until we started doing that. I think until we started doing that little game.
Did you start the first week we did this? I can't remember. Might have.
I contacted you pretty close to when you launched it and said, hey, I'd love to come up, because I was still doing Movielicious.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It may have been. That's right. It was like a segment for Movielicious, and it may have been only a week or something, but yeah, it was very early. So yeah, probably 2011. That's crazy.
Yep.
Here's your recommend. Crazy. Here's Brian's clip. Let's see if this is old or new or both.
What you got?
White male, 30s.
The place was wiped clean.
We don't have any evidence, any witnesses.
Perfect crime.
Wounds indicate an expertise in killing. Looks military. I think the killer had spec ops training.
Do not underestimate him. We gotta know what he knows.
You won't see me come until it's over.
This is really familiar to me.
I was gonna say, this sounds like a Scott movie.
It does.
It's not a movie, and it's a TV show, and that might give some clue as to what it is. But it's I might have recommended this when I was watching the first season, but now we're just finishing up the third season of it's an Amazon exclusive, mm-hmm. Starring Titus Welliver, if that helps.
Oh, freaking! Of course, I've seen this. Hold on, it's Bosch.
It is Bosch. That's exactly what it is. Bosch season 3 premiered in...
See, I think of power tools when you say Bosch.
Right? Yeah, or dishwasher is Bosch as well, yeah. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
Season 3 premiered, earlier this year, April of this year. Yeah. We finally have gotten to it, 10 episodes, and it's just as good as the previous two episodes, except this season, they've got the mummy. Arnold Vosloo, who played the mummy in the very first Brendan
Fraser. I freaking love Arnold Vosloo. He's the guy that in Hard Target that kept going, Boudreaux, Boudreaux, Boudreaux. He was like the hitman for... Great in that. Oh, that guy's great. You just got me all excited. South African actor. And he's amazing, and he's bald, and he's a badass.
He is a badass, and he plays kind of a badass in this one, too, but... it's really good. And it's, Titus Welliver is excellent. I think he would be a great, he'd be a good policeman to have on your side. He wouldn't be a very good friend to have on your side, but he'd be a good policeman to have on your side.
Okay. Fair enough.
And, but you've also got Lance Riddick.
Yeah.
I love the way Lance Riddick delivers his lines.
That sounds a little bit like, Alec Baldwin's impersonation of,
Tony Bennett? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The music, it makes me happy.
It is a very Tony Bennett name.
It is.
But he's that really skinny, scary dude from, like, Lost. He was on Lost, right?
He was on Lost. He was on Fringe.
Fringe.
Like, The Wire.
Yeah. You'd know him the minute you see him. He's super cool.
Is this a Netflix show?
It is, no, it's an Amazon thing. Oh, yeah, and if you're playing Destiny, he voices Commander Zavala.
Oh, very nice. That's good. Yes. Destiny 1 and 2, actually, I think.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, but, there you go. A fine recommendation. Stuff. That really show's great. Show. I think I got as far... I might be where you were before 3. I need to get caught up and watch the
rest.
Yeah,
the end of 2. Yeah, yeah. It's and you know, this time it's personal.
Of course it is. Here is my clip. Let's see if you guys... It's so easy. It's not even worth asking, but I'll play it anyway. Here you go.
Every time I start a new scene, I'm nervous. And when that verges on panic, I get great ideas. I tried very hard to get into USC film school, and I just didn't have the grades to get in. And I realized this was going to be what I was going to do, or I was going to die trying.
Okay.
Well, this is Steven Spielberg.
Some Jew director, right? Documentary.
Yeah, some small time director. It is the Spielberg documentary on HBO, literally called Straight Up Spielberg. Not Straight Up Spielberg. Right. It's just called, quote, Spielberg, unquote.
Saving Spielberg.
And it is awesome. I found that to be a magical journey of film history and my own growing up and seeing how his movies, along with some of his contemporaries, shaped my life in so many ways. There's lots of George Lucas, lots of Scorsese, lots of these other directors. They were all hanging out. They were all buddies. They were all working together. And seeing him go from this nerd who was, you know, super unsocial but just loved Super 8 film and dinking around with his dad's camera in Arizona when he was growing up, and see him become the most impactful, influential director of probably all film history, straight up, is fascinating. And he is super interesting. He talks about, even today, how much anxiety he gets before a scene, and it actually helps him create. And I think that's a really interesting window into what anxiety is for creative people. And he talks about Jaws, and he talks about all the other movies he's ever made, right up to modern current stuff. And it's fascinating. So if you like movies, if you like film, it is dumb stupid for you not to see the Spielberg documentary.
I like both of those things.
Yeah, it's great. You're going to love it, Brian. Nicole, cool. You will absolutely love it. It's amazing. It's really good. And they have so many cool people talking about his stuff. Like the Schindler's List stuff and Saving Private Ryan and where his head was at during the mid to late 90s is amazing. But what I'd forgotten about was his ability to do this. In 93, he puts out Schindler's List and he puts out Jurassic Park in the same year. Okay. Two hugely impactful movies for two totally different reasons, right? But the same damn year. And then he does it again in 98 with Saving Private Ryan and what was the other one? I got that wrong. What year was it? Oh no, it was 2005, and it was Minority Report and some super serious one.
Catch Me If You Can, or
no, it may have been Munich.
Oh, right.
Or
yes,
something. It was like a big Oscar thing. So he does this thing where he sticks to his sci-fi awesome imagination roots, and at the same year, he's like Oscar Lord. It's crazy. Yeah. That guy's insane. It's amazing. So watch it. That's my recommendation for you this week. Nicole,
very cool.
What do you got for us?
Well, hopefully my audio will play through. If not, I'll send you the clip. But
yell mark.
In light of what's that?
Yell mark if it doesn't work. That's the rule.
I will.
See if you can send us your audio through an emojis.
But in light of the news, this is streaming, and I think I've recommended, but it was a really long time ago. But it's on Netflix, and it's here. All right. Can you hear it?
Not yet.
No, don't hear anything yet.
Nothing yet.
Nope, still not hearing anything.
Mike, what's going on with Mike? Mark!
There you go. That's the rule. You completed your fiduciary duty to yell Mark.
Output, input. Maybe it's because it's going to my headphones. Try that. Okay. You hear it?
No. No.
Still nothing.
Still not. Oh, all right. I just got to figure it out.
Sweet.
I didn't do Lay's Elite last night, so.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's never mind. I just said your name. I didn't.
I love it. He's such a devoted husband. He came running right in.
Totally.
That's great.
I can't get the audio to go through to them, so I'm just going to send Scott the clip
through
Skype chat.
You can do that.
I'll figure it out.
Learn how to work this stuff.
I set it for the mixer. The mixer detaches on occasion. And it messes everything up, and then I got to reboot and blah, 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 blah.
All right. Well, so, here's your clip.
Started about in 30 seconds because it's a lot of just sound.
All right. 30 seconds in. We'll start about right here. Here we go, everybody.
Jeff?
Haley? Her turned it up a little bit.
You just don't really look like the kind of guy who has to meet girls over the internet.
Well, I think it's better to meet people online first. Get to know what they're like inside.
Oh, I remember this.
You work as a photographer, you find out real quick. People's faces lie.
Does my face lie? That is so good. Do you want some?
Sure.
Oh, it's so creepy, dude.
It's so creepy.
It's
you know what it is?
Story.
It's hard candy.
The hard candy.
It is hard candy. Oh, wow.
So it's Ellen Page and Patrick Wilson in that scene. Mm. Ellen Page is a 14-year-old girl that Patrick Wilson
is 32
online. He's 32.
Yeah, he's literally 32, Brian. It's 14 right, and 32. Right. That's amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Roy Moore.
Wow. So you're going into this movie. So it's streaming on Netflix right now. Ellen Page is amazing in this. And
she's really good,
in
yeah.
light of her recent public post and all of the stuff that's going on right now, just like, oh my God, this world.
Yeah.
But the movie is, it puts things on its head throughout it. So Ellen Page's kind of, I don't want to give away the movie if you haven't seen it. It's been out since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've both seen this movie.
No, yeah. I haven't seen it. I just know about it.
You haven't seen it, so you don't know what's going to happen.
It gives me
right?
the willies. I don't have any idea what happens. Creepy 32-year-old man picking up on 14-year-olds gives me the freaking willies, so I avoided it. But if you're telling me to see it, I'll see it.
It's really good. And both of them, honestly, I remember both of them just did an incredible job acting, especially Ellen Page.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Because this was post, like this was pre-Juno, but post whatever it was, the first thing that we saw her in. Was it X-Men as Kitty Pryde?
Oh, yeah. Kitty Pryde was, Kitty Pryde was 06. That was actually a year after this. But they may have, is that right? Yeah.
X-Men was 09.
No,
oh,
not
really.
This is 05.
This may be one of her first things.
Saw her in before.
She was in Trailer Park Boys once. But she's a Canadian actress, and she was in a couple episodes of that, and it was very brief, and then she was out of there and on to bigger things. But
yeah, this was kind of her breakthrough, because I'm looking through, and it's like, I downloaded a Ghost and Homeless to Harvard, the Liz Murray story, and stuff like that. And Hard Candy was kind of her breakthrough thing, and it was the year before, right? It was the year before Last Stand.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, so good. She's just, both of them were so good in this.
This guy's, She plays
a 14-year-old, and you think, oh God, this is going to be horrible. What is this guy going to do? And then things kind of get turned around and things happen and you're like, holy crap.
Right.
So
watch this while you wait for, the Flatliners reboot to come out on streaming.
There you go. Nailed it.
But yeah, highly, highly recommended. It's almost, there's a lot of suspense in it and,
it looks like she went from this to X-Men Last Stand in 06. And then her next big thing was Juno. So then
Which is kind of funny because in Hard Candy, she plays a very powerful role in Hard Candy, very empowering. Mm-hmm. And then to read what she went through in X-Men, it's like, shit.
Right. Oh, dude, no kidding.
Dude,
wow.
Brett Ratner's guy's a dick.
Yeah,
his movies aren't good either. I just like to put that out there.
No,
like it's one thing. I'm not saying one justifies the other or ever equalizes this out, but you're a terrible director and you've never made anything I liked ever, not once. And you're a douchebag. Well done, good job, dude. Nice job. All right. Well, there you go. Check it out. Hard candy.
Hard.
Not gonna spoil it.
Hard candy.
The kind that your grandma keeps in her candy jar.
I gotta say, by the way, we started watching Too Funny to Fail, and we loved it, but didn't have time to finish it last night because of Creature from the Black Lagoon. But really, I underline both of your recommendals on this. I think, Nicole, you actually originally recommended it, and Scott
then I watched saw it. And then I saw Twitter it and said Nicole was 100% freaking right. It was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. And for those who are like, isn't that thing got Louis C.K. in it? Yes, but they don't even interview him. He's not even part of the documentary.
Right.
For whatever reason, I think they dodged a bullet on that. But he he's just some background dude. But he wrote for that show. But it is fascinating. And the Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert stuff is amazing.
Really is like the two of them, like Colbert being an understudy for Carell in Second City, it blows my mind.
Yeah, what a weird story that is. But how that like barfing or the nauseous waiter routine turned into their whole careers they owe to that. Like that kind of stuff is fascinating. It's a really really good thing. People should watch it.
The setup. Did you get to the part where they did the setup of doing like the home improvement? Like the,
no, I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh my god, I lost it with that one.
It was really good.
But I did really enjoy the
timing was
perfect.
The other comedian that they got for the show whose audition for Saturday Night Live was an impersonation of Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners taking a dump.
Yeah. The big guy.
Absolutely, which was absolutely brilliant, but yeah, just like they say, imagining Lauren Michaels having to watch that is even funnier.
Yeah, it's really good. It makes me want to see those 8 episodes. And I don't know.
Yeah, well, you can go on YouTube. A lot of it, like Grandma Clown or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird. It's so weird and edgy. And basically, they were Monty Python again, kind of in a weird way, in it for an American audience. It's very strange. Totally worth seeing. You guys go watch that documentary. Look at that. Another recommendal based on a previous recommendal. We'll be doing it again next week, of course, as always. Nicole, anything you want people to know about, follow, do?
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that reached out to me to help me find a Super NES classic.
Nicely done.
Jason Hawthorne in Mississippi hooked me up. He travels a lot, and he found a tiny little store in Mississippi that had 6 of them. And I sent him the money, and he sent me a Super NES. So I just wanted to just say, Jason, you're awesome. And everybody else that reached out to me, awesome. Just, I was able to find one. Yay! Yeah.
Brian, well, by the way, all the episodes of Dana Carvey Show are on Hulu now. That wasn't the case a couple weeks ago.
They must have
just added that.
Oh, that's great.
Really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, all 8 episodes.
Totally gonna watch.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to go watch them. That sounds great. And with the thing I didn't know, and Brian may not be to this point yet, so I don't want to spoil it. But that thing where, Nicole, you know what I mean, where Dana Carvey ended up redoing a thing somewhere else because...
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I thought that was an original SNL thing. I had no idea. And also the ambiguously gay duo thing and how that started and where it ended up. Mm-hmm. Freaking Robert Smigel's my hero. I love that guy. He's so good.
Is it Smigel or Smigel?
Smigel.
No, it's Smigel.
He said Smigel last week.
I'm going to do that. You're going to Carvey Show, Precious.
Wow, that was a weird Smigel. All right. Hey, Nicole, follow. I don't know what that was. Follow her on Twitter at Nicole Spag. She'll share these things out, and we'll all have a great old time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. We're out. Before we go, though, Coverville today, or what's your plan there? I know you got a lot of prep going on.
It wasn't one last week, so I'm making up for it this week. Blue Oyster Cult, Petula Clark, and Miley Cyrus, because all 3 of those things should go together.
Sure.
But I'm going to have a special guest on today's episode. The aforementioned George, who loves Creature from the Black Lagoon, is going to be joining me because Blue Oyster Cult is one of his favorite bands, so... That's going to be part of Coverville today, right around with a guest. It's a little harder, but right around 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Jump in, watch the live stream, watch us record, and it should be fun.
Very nice. Looking forward to that. So do check that out. In the absence of anything else to tell you guys about, I'd like to send your brains over there to frogpants.com/TMS. All the links that matter are there. So you're trying to contact us via email or Twitter or support us on Patreon or whatever it may be. It's all right there. Super explanatory. That's frogpants.com/TMS. And thank you all for listening. Before we go, a little song to take us out. You got a little something?
Sure.
Something?
Aaron Joel wrote in and said, my dearest Sargeras and Brutalis, I want to drop in a request for Tuesday, November 14th. This will be my 1-year sobriety anniversary. And sorry, I didn't get to it yesterday. I had a couple different things for yesterday. Mm. 1-year sobriety anniversary. Throughout the roller coaster of a year I've had that has included divorce, loss of a great career, and constant rebuilding, the one constant I've enjoyed was TMS and the Frog Pants Network as a whole. At times, I was so insanely down and lonely, but I maintained an attitude of this too shall pass. I would like to request the Me First and the Gimme Gimme's cover of I Will Survive because despite some things being proverbial poo at times, I like to think that things in life are either good or on their way to being good. So thank you for all the indirect support you've given me on the road to a better me. Without you, I would have never made it to the test to test the ship's phasers, despite it being too early for a tender crisp bacon cheddar fish sandwich with Brian's limp, limp penis penis.
Hey, damn. It's too early to get a fish sandwich.
Hold on. You know what? We haven't done the limp, limp penis thing for a while. So here's Brian doing it, sure. All broken up.
My limp, limp penis, penis, penis.
It was the best best Skype spaz out we'd ever experienced on the show.
Really was, yeah. Like, you couldn't have made that better. Mm. Hold the snow, bro, and serious. Much love, signed Aaron.
Cool.
Yes, this comes from Me First in the Gimme Gimme's album, Are We Not Men? We Are Diva, which came out 2014. It's a song. It's a cover of the Gloria Gaynor tune. Of course, it is I Will Survive.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And now you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. Cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbyes? You think I'd crumble? You think I'd lay down? And I've got all my love to give. And I'll survive. I will survive. So you felt like dropping by and just expect me to be free. But I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Go on now, go. Walk out the door. Just turn around now. Cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with goodbye? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd break down and die?
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Or ho ho ho.